we're still studying, essentially we're studying free will from a different angle right now. But again, let's go to that anchor scripture in 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, as in Italians, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, or taken captive by him at his will. We are all taken captive by him at his will. The minute that we leave faith, then we are open to being taken captive at his will. The minute we hold on to a judgment about somebody, we are taken captive by him at his will. The minute we can't forgive something from the heart, we are taken captive by him at his will. On and on and on. And that's what the preaching of the cross reveals. When we are, it reveals us to be taken captive by him at his will. Now, as we talked about yesterday, Satan is no big deal. He was a created being. He was created by God for God's purpose. And that is the trying or testing or putting to the test, for the purposes of approval, us. So Satan is defeated, but his minions, us, are rampant, and we still are doing his will. Whenever we leave faith, we walk according to the prince of the power of the air. That's all we can do. And we can't say, no, I don't do that. Well, the minute you leave faith, you do that. Yesterday said that he's only a created being, just like everything else. But he became self for self. He was Lucifer, the light bearer. He was to reveal that light of God unto all creation. But he saw an opportunity and he rebelled. And there was a great war in heaven over it. And then he and his minions were thrown into the earth. Us, earthen vessels. Now, and let's just put some cement on these. Go to Romans 7. Oh, it was there already. How about that? If then I do that which I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, the sin is a person. The sin is the Antichrist. The sin is the instead of Christ. The sin is you and I. Now, if you don't believe that, then we've got to go back to the even more basic than this. If you don't know that you're the instead of Christ, that your number is 666, because you can never reach rest, you can never be at rest, you can never have peace of mind, truly, because you continue to use it. Therefore, you're of the evil one. And your number then is 666. Remember that famous statement of Luther's, which used to be the most memorable one, but now hardly anybody remembers it. He said, every time you let your mind go and start thinking, you are then the one that is pushing the thorns into the head of Christ. Every time you think you have something to do, then you are the ones that are nailing his hands to the cross. And if you have to go somewhere, because you decided you have to go somewhere, then you're nailing the spikes into his feet. Now, that statement, along with the rest of really, that comes from the Heidelberg Disputation. He got credited for nailing the 95 theses on the wall at the Wittenberg Church. But the Reformation, more than that, came from, I mean, he nailed the, not the Heidelberg Disputation, what am I trying to say?
You said it right. You nailed the 95
theses. Oh, yeah. Well, it's the Heidelberg Disputation that really started the Reformation. That was the second wave of the church. Because it showed the evil nature, the evil one. And it's us. The wheels are turning, Gary.
Well, we spent a lot of time talking about the evil one, giving him a lot of ink, a lot of airtime.
Well, we have lately.
Yeah. Does that not call attention to him? And
exactly. So it shows that any time we're not living in faith, by faith alone, that we resurrect the evil one from his deadly head wound. And that's giving him a great deal of importance.
And yet he's dead.
No, he's not. He's defeated. But his minions, you and I, are the whole human race. Let's go to Matthew 12. I think. Yeah. Now, remember, he's saying that we should. We. What we've read, the so-called anchor scripture for what we've been studying, is that the believers oppose themselves. And they oppose themselves by the evil one. And so anyway, here's what Jesus said in verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So he's saying that we wouldn't have a chance unless the evil one had been defeated. Because then we couldn't have been able to let Christ take over this temple. Everybody understand that? So that's what this is about. But he's saying some are still, Timothy said, you're posing yourself.
As when he talked about leaving the mercy seat, it means you're scattering, you know, instead of, you know, that's when he pretty much delineated the whole thing right there.
Yes, pretty clear.
You're either with me or against me.
Amen.
Yeah. If you're not in faith, you're, you know, scattering with Satan.
So that's why we spend a lot of time on it, because it's so massive. Okay, Romans 7.
That's where we were.
I know. But we didn't do what we were going to do when we were there.
Where'd we go?
Back to Romans 7.
So verse 17. Now then, if then I do in verse 16, that which I would not or don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That sin is a person. If you don't know that sin is a person or a being, then we've got to talk. Remember, sin is who you are. Trespasses are what you do. And iniquity is the cause of it all. Iniquity is the great transgression. Amen? You don't have a choice in whether you're fallen or not. All right. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, well, let's continue on for a moment. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I don't want to do, that I do. Now if I do that thou don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And I find then a law. And this is the fruit of that fall. That when I would do good, the evil one is present with me. Because they're a pair. They can't be separated, good and evil. Let's go back to the beginning, Genesis 3. Again, for needless purpose, unless you know that there are snakes that talk and eat dust, then this is a parable. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto this woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, the serpent is still here. Do you understand that? And you are it. Now. All right. I was about to go on a rant. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now here is that big deal. God never told him not to touch it, because what you touch, you have dominion over. told him not to eat of it, not to gain sustenance from it. So what did the serpent say? Well, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, for God doth know that you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's what God doesn't want you to. He wants you to return to innocency. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 18:3. To become as a little child means the forgetting of everything you have ever learned. To return to that state of innocency before God. And then that innocency can then be transformed into holiness by his temptation, by his test. We are the disciples, are they that continue with him in his test. Our test is gone. If it is gone, but it isn't gone by declaration. It's gone by the warfare until every thought is brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Until you've cast down every imagination. Well, it's just a it's the way the Bible explains things. Things that you can touch, you can have dominion over. But if you can't, if things that are forbidden, then it has dominion over you.
So we would have dominion over good and evil, or
no? We'd have no desire for good and evil. We would not care to know. We would have remained in the state of innocency. In Adam and Eve.
And that's what we return to in Christ.
But you don't do that by declaration. You do that by repentance 1,000,000 times because your mind is trying to constantly keep the garment spotted by the flesh. And the garment is spotted by the flesh every time you use your mind. Every time something that you do is not of faith, then the garment's spotted by the flesh.
Yeah, the tension is between the finishedness of the work and our experience of it.
Right. You can't. So
of it is happening now.
Right, but you can't. You're not. It's not there by declaration. It's there by experience. It's there by going to war. You're not on the mercy seat if your mind is still in the world. You can say you are till hell freezes over. But you're not there because the garment is spotted by the flesh. Therefore, again, the little children, I write unto you because your sin is forgiven. That's great, but it's only the merest beginnings of the trip to the New Jerusalem. Preaching of the cross comes against something that you're doing or the way you're living. And when you see that you have fallen back into sin or the evil one, then you say, Father, forgive me. But if you don't see by the preaching of the cross that you're still living in sin, then there can be no repentance. Your garment's still spotted by the flesh.
And we were talking last night about the prodigal son, who circumstances brought him to that place.
Right.
He was beaten down by everything, and then he saw what was going on. came to himself. Or, you know,
right, he stopped opposing himself.
And then he turned to the Father.
Amen. Humanity is neutral. Well, it means that it's it's just a vessel. It's a vessel either for the evil one or for Christ. But when it's for Christ, that you say it's for Christ, then it has to be for Christ. It can't be you say that it's for Christ just because the Bible says it's for Christ. The Bible says anything other than faith is sin. Of the seven, of the evil one. Well, that's a scary thought. Go to let's go to that, our favorite book, Jude. I was being facetious when I said that.
Luckily, only.
Go to Jude chapter 3. No, that's just terrible. I do that all the time. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Guard is what it says in Greek. Guard yourself so you remain in the love of God, because the evil one is taking you captive at his will. Now have compassion on some, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. If you don't hate the garment spotted by the flesh, then you don't understand. If you don't see that the use of your mind, something other than faith, spots the garment, then you don't understand.
Luckily, he ends on a positive note. All that.
Well, yeah, that's a positive note, but he doesn't. Do you hate? Let me ask. Do you hate the garment spotted by the flesh? Do you even know what that means?
Reference to leprosy.
Well, how does it? What spots the garment? It says the flesh spots the garment.
Four-letter word. M-I-N-D.
Your mind spots the garment when you do something other than faith.
Me, myself, and I.
That point. Once the garment is spotted, then you've given yourself over to the evil one. You can talk about the salvation till the rest of your life. But if the garment's spotted by the flesh, at best, you're back in the world. Evil was not his humanity. Evil was the sin person dwelling in him. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Most people don't even know what it means. They never have even read it. It doesn't apply to me. My garment isn't spotted by the flesh. The Bible says that I'm on the mercy seat. Everything that happened to Israel happened for our benefit, that we might see our own capacity to do all the stupid things that they did and then repent of it, so that we could enter into his rest, cease from our own labors in every domain. But until you hate the garment spotted by the flesh, none of this will make any sense to you, because you have another way. You just decide you're there. You got to hear this thing is constantly trying to take you captive by his will. That's his job. That's the evil one in you. His name is sin. You know, you can be like these evangelists, say, "Wow, I have the mind of Christ." And so you run around and say, "Jesus and I were talking the other day." No, you weren't. You lying piece of crap. They have conversations with God every 5 minutes. But they're going to be awfully surprised. Leading the whole world astray. Does anybody not agree that the garment is spotted by the flesh when you use your mind? Does anybody think that's not right?
I remember touching a dead body was the thing that would.
Same thing. We are the dead body.
That's right. Yeah.
When you touch the dead body, when you give it importance, when you give it permission, you give the evil one permission to take over again. And this is why we talk about it so often and talk about repentance so often, because I know the nature of the evil one. I know he is more subtle than any beast of the field, than the slyest politician, until he's more subtle than the greatest con man that ever lived. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The only way to keep yourself in the love of God is by not returning to the flesh. And if there's the slightest tendency, Father, forgive me. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have anything else?
Good.
Take it, big guy.